The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Let's begin this teaching today with a question. Can you keep a secret? In other words, do you withhold or do you conceal information you might learn about another person from those who do not really need to know it? I have entitled this, Can You Keep a Secret? You see, brethren, those who repeat information in the Bible are known as talebearers, and they lack integrity, and they do not have a faithful spirit. You're going to say, well, that's really hard, you know, to make those statements. We'll see as we go along if those statements that I have made are true. It seems to me as though that if they know damaging information about someone, they think they must tell it. With that information that I've stated so far, please go with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 11. Proverbs, chapter 11, we're going to read at this time one verse, verse 13. Proverbs 11 and verse 13. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. What the Bible calls talebearing is known to us today as gossiping. However, we also need to understand that in our modern social media today, it is called investigative reporting or entertainment. And there are many social media outlets. I mean, things like there are certain TV shows. It's their whole purpose for being is to be a talebearer or to be a gossip about certain things. Or how about the tabloids? And there are even some internet sites that they simply exist for the purpose of talebearing, of repeating information about other people that they really have no business probably even knowing, much less having the information and then repeating the information. Let me ask you a question here, and probably most of us have done this. I know that I have. And so this comes from somewhat of personal experience. But have you ever watched a person pick up and read a tabloid while you are standing in line waiting at the grocery store? I have, and like I said, I'm sure most of us have done that. Watch their face. They seem to have a real curiosity or a delight in what it is that they are reading. They are fascinated by this stuff that, again, probably does not need to be written down, and they probably don't need to know it, but they are fascinated with this, with that information. Because, you see, here's what it is. People want to know more of the details, and this seems to be especially true when sexual details are involved. Now, without asking, I'm going to ask a question, but not asking for comments or show of hands or anything. How many of you would like your sexual interest in activity, you know, within your marriage to be spread all over the tabloids and the TV shows and all of those kind of things? Would you like that? Yes or no? Well, of course, all of us would say, of course not. But that's what people want. That's what people want. And they cannot wait until they can repeat the information that they've learned to someone else. If some detail is found about a sports figure, or about an entertainer or celebrity or someone who is in politics, that seems to draw more and more attention, and people want to talk and talk and talk and talk about it. And I don't know about you, but it seems to me that the more negative the details, it is that much more exciting to spread. And brethren, I want us, as part of the body of Jesus Christ, to understand this fascination with secrets is a sin. Too many people, and yes, sometimes even people within the Church of God, love to spread information, news about negative events in the lives of others. We might hear statements like, "Can you believe she said or did that?" Or, "Did you hear they are separated and maybe even filing for divorce?" Or, "Have you heard the latest about him?" And the thing is, maybe none of this is true. And brethren, private details of others that should be concealed are discussed. And they're talked about and talked about and talked about. And it's passed along from one person to another, who then willingly passes it on to another. And brethren, what we need to understand is this sin is an abomination to God. It has the potential to destroy a person's reputation. And that word reputation is much, much larger than we tend to think about it. Well, other people won't like him as much. No, it is much deeper than that. And what I want us to understand very early is, it is associated, this sin, the sin of talebearing, is associated in Scripture with murder. We'll see it. We'll see it before we're through. Now, I want us to understand, the Bible does not use the word gossip, not in the King James Version. There are some other, what I would call alternate translations, that do use the word gossip, but it's not in the King James Version. But what is used is the word talebearer, tattlers, whispers, and backbiters. And here in Proverbs 11 and verse 13, Solomon is teaching us that good men and women with faithful spirits will not repeat private news they learn about others. And you might ask, well, what if you do hear this private information about others? What do you do about it? Well, we're going to get to that before the end of this teaching as well. But so I want us to get what I would believe to be a better understanding of these four words. Because I think that if we understand what is actually stated in the Scriptures, the words, how they're used, or what, you know, where it comes from and those kind of things, I think it helps us to get a better picture of this particular sin. So let's take a look at these four words. Talebearing in Hebrew, meaning in the Old Testament, comes from a root word meaning to roll to pieces. Now that's an interesting phrase, but that's where this word, the root word, comes from. The sense of the word is telling private matters to satisfy idle curiosity. To roll to pieces. So it's an attitude of cutting somebody down. It's putting somebody down. making us look better, because if you tell something negative about another person, what does that tend to do? We tend to think that it makes us look better. From a biblical point of view, it makes us look worse than the information. Tattling comes from a Hebrew word meaning to tell all. And it is a form of tale-bearing. All of these words in one way or another are associated together, and pretty much all of them go back to the primary word of tale-bearing. The next word is whispering, number three, if you're numbering these four words. Number three would be, it comes from a Hebrew word meaning blowing. You got to understand the Hebrew. You got to understand they have a sense of what the actual word is talking about. So the sense of it is a quiet or secret tale-bearing. It's repeating information for idle curiosity with maybe even intent of damaging another person. And then the fourth word is backbiting, and it comes from a Hebrew word meaning secret tale-bearing or secret slandering. And you go, how can it be secret if you're slandering? Because we're going to address slandering in just a moment. But anyway, this is what the meaning of it would be, or the usage of it. It also can be used as evil speaking or maliciously defaming the absent. In other words, you're putting down a person who's not even there. You know, are we going to say these bad things typically about the person in front of their face? Probably most people don't want to do that. So it's easier to do it when they're absent, when they're not there. And I think you kind of get the gist of what it is saying, what it is talking about. And of course, this backbiting, it includes tale-bearing behind a person's back. Now, with this in mind, go with me to 2 Corinthians 12. And we're going to read verse 20. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 20. The Apostle Paul is speaking to the Corinthians here, and he says, "For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would." In other words, you might not be exactly the way that I would want to find you. In other words, they're not living up to the godly standard, is what he's implying. And then he says, "And that I shall be found unto you such as you would not." I may not look like what you would expect me to look like either, or to be behaving like. I mean, he's very open about that. He knows that he has done things wrong. "Lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whispering, swellings, tumults." Now, what I want us to understand here is all of these words can fit into our category of the four words that we're looking at. So it doesn't have real good company, does it? So I don't think it's something right off that we would want to be associated with. God obviously, very plainly, condemns these sins, because that's what they are. It's just what Paul is describing here. Go with me now to the book of Romans, chapter 1. Romans 1, verse 29. Romans 1, verse 29. "Being filled with all unrighteousness," he's going to list a bad company again, "fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder," this is where I told you earlier that it's associated with, "debate, deceit, malignity," which is malice, "and whispering." Now, I want to read this same verse 29 here from the New International Version. It says the same thing, but I just like the wording a little better. "They have become fuller with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envying, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossipers." I told you there are some translations that will use the word. Now verse 30, and I'm going back to the King James Version, verse 30, and it says, he's still listing all of these bad examples. Backbiters, haters of God. In other words, you think about yourself as you're repeating information that you've learned about somebody to somebody else that you probably don't need to know the information, and the other person you tell it to probably doesn't need to know the information either. Would you think that it would be associated with being a hater of God? So suddenly this has become a topic that is, oh, maybe I need to listen to this. Proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. And it goes on and on. Another bad company listing that he's compared it with. He's listed in this list of. Okay, I got one more place. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 13. 1 Timothy 5 verse 13. 1 Timothy 5:13, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. Our four words are described in this one passage, in this one verse. So, brethren, we need to please realize our personal integrity and honor are shown by how we handle negative information and news about other people that we might learn about. And let's all note these four Bible terms can all even involve telling true facts about others that need not be told. I'm not going to go through and give you any illustrations other than to just say one thing, just one simple illustration. What if you learn some information about somebody that they don't, and it's true, because primarily what we're looking at is negative information that we might learn that I think we can clearly see to this point, obviously should not be repeated. Well, there are times whenever there's even true information that we do that might learn about it, but do not need to repeat the information. The other person may want to reveal it to others. Maybe they told you, but thinking that you're going to take it, keep it in confidence, and so you've tell others, thinking that you're doing a good thing, and you know, like, oh, did you hear that so-and-so got a promotion and that meant they got a raise? Maybe they don't want that information out. I mean, you know, all of us could come up with all kinds of reasons why we wouldn't want certain information to be out, even though it's true. And I know that you can come up with some on your own. The point that the information is true only means that it is not slander. But it still shouldn't be told unless the person has told you it's okay, pass it on. Somebody, you learn something and somebody says, I'm talking about good information, good things about somebody. And if they say, and you can tell anybody, I've had people to tell me good things, you know, about themselves, things that have happened, and they said, and you can tell anybody you want to. Well, okay, that's permission. You know, but if that is not stated, I'm telling you, I don't repeat it. I try not to repeat information. There have been times whenever my wife has done some, I'm going to use the word counseling, with one real clear example that it was with a woman who's from another congregation, and she told her some things, and then the man called me during the week, the husband called me during that week and said, can I come over and counsel with you? And I said, sure. She comes over, and he starts off by repeating this, telling me this information is negative stuff, And he says, and I know that you know this. And I go, oh, wait a minute, I don't know this. He said, well, I know that my wife talked to your wife last week, and so I just assume she told you. Do not assume that if you tell something to my wife that is negative that you want her to talk to you about, do not assume that she is going to tell me, because she is not. And do not assume that if you tell me that my wife automatically knows it, because I am not. But people assume it. If you tell somebody, they're going to tell other people. This is not what we need to do. We need to understand. That's a very important principle. Okay. Slander is spreading lies about others. A talebearer will justify himself by saying things like, well, he only is telling facts. However, brethren, what I want us to understand is real at this point is it is the very definition of talebearing, tattling, whispering, and backbiting. Slander is actually two sins. It is lying, and it is spreading lies. Talebearing is one sin. Spreading hurtful facts. Or spreading information, maybe even true facts, that you may not have any reason to know, and you certainly might not have any reason to be passing it on. And that's why I said earlier, God considers that as a sin. The point that the secrets are true does not pacify the sin at all. We in our American society think that if we have the information, we can pass it on. I mean, we already showed. We got TV shows. That's their whole purpose for being. And so we watch them. Well, some watch it. I refuse to watch those type of programs because I don't want to know this information because it's gossip, it's backbiting, it's slander, it's bad things, it's bad news, and I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know about it. Now, you know, times when you run across things, you're reading something and damn, there it is, and you already know about it. Anyway, we need to understand it does not pacify the sin at all. Because you see, God knows that primarily, and generally speaking terms, there are only two reasons why we're telling the secret. And that is hateful or idle curiosity. We are damaging another person's reputation, and generally speaking, there is no godly reason to do it at all. Now, before anyone else jumps ahead of me and they've already thought this through, there is one reason when we can, and I'll use this word, justify telling secrets, and that is to the authorities, and I'm not identifying who the authorities are here, or limiting it to who the authorities are, but is telling it to the authorities so that they can fulfill their office or their duties or their responsibility in the situation. There is no other godly reason for passing information on without the person's knowledge and giving you the permission to do so, I'm talking about. Passing on secrets violates a person's reputation, and it can create painful and terrible memories, even leaving permanent scars on that person's life, because somebody else has learned something that now is going to affect this person who the information has been talked about. We have this stupid statement in our society. It says, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. That is an absolute lie, and it's a damaging statement for even people to even think that it's okay to do so. It is never okay to do so. Never. Unless, like I said, unless it's to an authority, because they need to know it to fulfill their duties, their office, their responsibilities, or whatever. Jeremiah 17:9 tells us that a man's heart is desperately wicked, and it can, and it is capable of doing anything it can to defame or hurt or injure another person. Knowing that mankind has a deceitful heart, would you trust that kind of person, which would be us, to pass on negative information without the other person's knowledge or telling us that it's okay to do so? But see, society disregards the Word of God. We should not disregard the Word of God. Not going to read them, but you can also put in your notes and read Romans 3, verses 13 through 18. But human nature, and please understand, we all have one, is to hate one another. You go, oh, I don't hate other people. Let's see what the scripture says. Titus 3, verse 3. If you have human nature, and that would mean that you're human, then this verse applies. Titus 3, verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. Now, I know this is talking to true believers, and so hopefully we've gone away from these things, but that's what is within us as being human. This is what I'm talking about, what I'm dealing with. And sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving different or lust and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's part, this is all part of, this is describing part of the human nature. And so we have to understand, we are capable of all of these. Now, we also are capable of not doing all of these things because hopefully we have the Holy Spirit of God and Jesus Christ is living in us, and therefore we can put all of this down. But the fact that we are human, we are capable of all of this, and that's the point that I'm making. And brethren, one of the easiest ways to hurt another person's reputation is to spread private information that does not need to be told. And this is the sin that is being condemned in Proverbs 11 and verse 13. This proverb tells us that faithful men and women will hide private information they happen to learn, true or untrue. That's what it says. So it's right there. It tells us how we're to do with this private information. We're to conceal it. That's what it says. A man or woman who is faithful, has a faithful spirit, they will conceal it. They will not repeat this information to anyone else. They will do all that they can do to protect the reputation of others, no matter what they may think or feel about the person that they have learned the information about. Well, I just told it because I don't like them. That doesn't justify anything. And brethren, I also would want us to understand that having this kind of integrity and godly loyalty makes a man or woman great in the sight of both God and man. Who would you trust? Somebody that you know is going to pass on the information, or somebody that you know that are not going to pass on the information? It's not even a hard question, is it? Well, God is the same way. God is the same way. I want to pause just a moment and think about this. Do you remember when our society used to condemn this type of behavior, telling information about behind other people's back, you know, doing that? Well, I do, but no more. It's not done that way anymore. In fact, today, instead of punishment, awards for giving are given to those who obtained the most sensational reports or the most revealing photographs or videos of people at all levels of society. Awards are given to them. There's no punishment. They're awarded for it. Brethren, you and I, as true believers of Jesus Christ, we need to guard our tongue so that we will not repeat a matter. And I also want us to understand, brethren, that we must also guard our ears. So we need to ask, how do we handle a situation when someone else talebears or backbites or whispers or all of these negative words that we're looking at here? What if they do it in our presence? What do we do? How do we handle the situation? We condemn him with an angry face, or we admonish or rebuke him. Proverbs 25. Go with me to Proverbs 25. We're going to read one verse. We're going to read verse 23. Proverbs 25 and verse 23. 25:23. The north wind drives away rain. So does an angry countenance, and I'm adding in, drive away a backbiting tongue. Someone starts telling into your presence, you just give them this, you know, whatever your angry face is, that you're not happy with this information. Or you can verbally say, I don't want to hear this. Or please don't talk about this, at least not in my presence. I know it's much easier just to stand there and listen to it, but I'm saying this is what the scripture says. I didn't write this up. These are scriptures. I want to share another one. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn or admonish them that are unruly. And this word unruly, you can write in parentheses the four Hebrew words translated into English that we're looking at. Because they are unruly. Anyone who does these, any one of these four things, they are unruly. It would fit in this verse. And comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. But it says that we are to admonish or to warn them that are unruly. Now here's the point. Because you see, brethren, if there is no one who is willing to listen, then talebearers would be out of business. They get this information about someone that's negative and they want to tell it. If no one's willing to listen to it, they're out of business. Who are they going to tell it to? They don't have anybody to tell it to. Proverbs 17:4. A wicked doer gives heed to false lies. They're going to heed. They're going to listen to it. There are people, and they are considered by this proverb to be a wicked doer. The willing to listen to it is considered as a wicked doer, is participating in it. We need to understand that. And a liar gives ear to a naughty tongue. Now the person who is willing to listen and do these things is considered as a wicked person, a wicked doer, and also is considered as a liar. Huh. Brethren, so let's all realize, if we allow talebearer or a backbiter or a tattler or a whisper to sin by putting sinful thoughts into our head about another person, then we are an accomplice to his sin. Now, I understand that somebody could just state it and you were not able to stop them. I understand that you're not accomplicing then because you're not, but it's what is the reaction later? What is the reaction you do after the information is there? Well, I've already said it, you know. An angry countenance, that's what it says. Or admonish or warn them. This is not acceptable. I don't want to hear this. I don't want to know this information. I have another question that I think we need to ask ourselves, and that is, so how important is it that we avoid this sin? I think I've painted a pretty clear picture that it's bad. So how important is it that we do avoid this sin? Well, let's go back to the original verse that we've read, because it actually answers that question. It's in Proverbs 11, verse 13. A talebearer reveals secrets. That's the negative. This is what happens. But he that is a faithful spirit conceals the matter. So how important is this sin for us to avoid? This proverb clearly teaches us that faithful men and women will not do it. They are not going to pass it on. That's how important it is that we're not going to do it. When it is rightly understood, it is an indication or it is offering some type of evidence that this person who is this has this faithful spirit that does not pass it on is a person who is looking to eternal life. That's how important it is. Go ahead and read Proverbs 15, verse 1. Proverbs 15 and verse 1. Many of you know these verses in Proverbs 15. Verse 1 says, Lord, who shall abide in your tabernacle? Who shall stand in your holy hill? In other words, who's going to be in your kingdom? Who's going to be a person who is part of your family? Verse 3, he that backbites not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor. All four of our words are in there. The sense of all four of the words, who's going to be in the kingdom of God? The guy that does not pass on the information, who has a faithful spirit, that's who's going to be there. So how important is this sin for us to avoid? I think it's pretty straightforward. Kingdom or no kingdom? That's how much God hates it. Because somebody who is passing on information, if you look at just Proverbs 15, he's saying the person who does these things is going to be there. The person who is not doing these things, what is the indication? Not going to be there. So, brethren, those who are faithful and have integrity will work to protect others. They will not pass this information along if they've heard it without being able to stop it before it was stated. Because that can happen. You can hear the information and go, oh, wait a minute, I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear any more of this. So it can happen quickly. And so we need to have the mindset of Jesus Christ. Philippians 2 and verse 5, you know this. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. So how would Jesus Christ handle these kind of situations? Do you think he passed this kind of information along to ones? I don't think so, and I don't think you would think that either. In fact, what we read is that we are told that he forgets the sins of his people forever. Now, I know I'm going to read a verse here, and I know that this is talking about future, that they're all going to be forgiven. But I want us to read it anyway, because if we're to have the mindset of Jesus Christ, this is to be our thinking also. Hebrews 8 and verse 12. Hebrews 8 and verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. We should, you know, if somebody is repeating some information that we don't have any reason to know, we certainly are not going to pass it on, because we're going to have this faithful spirit about us, and if we want to be in the kingdom of God, we're going to forget the information as quickly as we can. And go, yeah, but once it's there, it's there. No, there are ways of forgetting information that's outside of this sermon. But that would be our goal. We would forgive the person for telling us. We would forgive the person for having done whatever it was, even though we're not really involved. But we would forgive. Have you ever asked God to forgive someone that you had nothing to do with, like these terrorists that are doing these horrible things? What is your attitude toward that? I ask God to forgive them. I'd want them to be our friends as opposed to being an enemy. And one of the first things to do is to have a heart and an attitude of forgiving. Now, I'm not going to turn my back on any of these people, but I ask God to forgive them. Now, God will. It's going to be at His time, and I'm just letting Him know where I am. And I think we need to let God know where our heart is. Do I hate what they're doing? Absolutely. Do I want God to come and end all of this quickly? Yes. But in the meantime, I ask God to forgive them. That's what Jesus said. Now, I know they're not His people. All people are His. All people are His. Jesus would never reveal sins of others because it is to His glory to cover them. Following Jesus' example, it can be ours also. Proverbs 25 and verse 2. Just going to read the A part. The B part is a good part of the verse, but the A part is the part that I'm looking at. Proverbs 25, 2. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing. Brethren, it is also considered as a glory to us if we conceal a thing. So I go back to that question. How important is it? Well, how important would it be to you to receive glory of God because of something that you did by not doing? You didn't pass it on. I think it's very important. So, brethren, if we learn of something damaging, some kind of information that is negative about someone else, we need to have real compassion, and we need to have a real sense of dedication to protect that person. Asking God to forgive the one who repeated the information, and if we learn about a sin of another person, we ask God to forgive them. But we're going to conceal this information, and by concealing this information, we are protecting this person that's the victim of the tale-bearing. I mean, I hope that's clear, and hope that we can see it in that way, and that is what we should be doing. So I guess where I'm really going here would be, so what's the bottom line in learning about this topic? That is, what do we do about it? If we hear it, what do we do about it? What is the bottom line to what we do about it? The answer is, we need to cover the information with love. Yes, we ask God to forgive the talebearer, but we also ask God to forgive the person who did the whatever the negative information is that we've learned. But we also cover this information, protecting this other person, in love. Proverbs 10 and verse 12. Proverbs 10 and verse 12. Hatred stirs up strifes, but love covers all sins? Are we saying the sin was okay to conceal the, to, let's say that it was a sin that a brother or sister in Christ committed, and another brother or sister in Christ, I'm just bringing it down to the church here, and another brother or sister in Christ repeats the information and is telling you, they're backbiting. You don't want to get involved. You want to conceal the information. You cover it in sin, and you cover that sin in love. Are you condemning, are you condoning the sin? Of course not. Of course not. Proverbs 17:9. He that covers a transgression seeks love. But he that repeats a matter separates very friends. Has anyone, not asking for comments, but has anyone ever told anything about you that was true or untrue to someone else, and as a result of it, you have friends who have separated themselves from you? I have. You cover all of that. You forgive them. You cover it with love. 1 Peter 4:8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. It doesn't matter how big, how many sins there are. We love the person, and by not passing it on, we are covering that sin. Do we need maybe to consider going to the one that was talked about? Because we're that close to them that we could, and say, someone told me. Because if you say, did you know that so-and-so told me that you know, what have you just done? You're doing the very same thing. But if you can, in love, go to this person and say, this information, and do not ask me who told, because I'm not going to tell you, because I'm not going to get involved in that. But this is what was told, and I think you need to be aware that it's out there. Now, what can I do with you to help you, you know, in all of this? Now, you may not be able to do that. You may not. It depends on the situation. But it's something at least you would be able to consider. But the point is, you ask for forgiveness for both parties, and you cover it by not repeating the information. That's the godly approach. So, brother, we started this teaching with a question. We will end this teaching with the same question. Can you keep a secret? The Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God bless each one of you, brethren. God bless each one of you, that we will have and use this faithful spirit, and we will be known as a people who can keep a secret. God bless you all. Happy Sabbath.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.